Now, if you look at the life of David coming over there, Joseph coming over there, because this is a Joseph Business School. All right. Genesis chapter, let's go to Genesis chapter 37 first. I'm going to whiz right through this because now, you can believe I've learned a lot over the years here. A lot of this I'm teaching you by experience because I've learned it. I've kind of understand it much better now. Okay. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you that once you come into the kingdom, experience is not the best teacher. Amen. The Holy Spirit is.
Amen.
And he can show you a way to do it without you making a mistake.
Amen.
But we got to slow down long enough to seek God, and God will give us a way out. Bible says, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of who? God. That's James chapter 1, verse 5. So you always ask for wisdom. I want wisdom, Lord. How do they do this? Wisdom is not knowledge. That's different. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. He was R.G. Letourneau, who was a big shipbuilding magnate. He was took his plant and converted his plant during the war to make warships for the U.S. And those ships were being sunk. They need to turn out some more quickly. And he tried to turn them out quicker, but when he tried to turn them out quicker, he'd build them upside down, and when he turned them right side up, the rivets would pop. And so he had problems with that. He didn't know what to do. So he fasted. He fasted for 4 days. On the fourth day, Spirit of God spoke to him and said, this is the way you do it. Boom, 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 boom. He gave it to his people. They did it. They made a ship a day.
Amen.
So God can get you out of any situation. He can make it. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
But the enemy's job is to seduce you, to get you away from trusting God. I know when showing my wife in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, it was a time where I think Hezekiah was involved. But what happened was they were besieged by the Assyrians. And as a result of that, the Assyrians, I think Hezekiah had given him some gold off of the doorknobs and so forth, trying to appease the enemy because the enemy had taken all the other towns round about. He had just captured them. Now he's coming for Hezekiah and Israel and Judah. And so Hezekiah trying to buy him off. But you can't buy the devil off. He's a greedy. He won't settle for just a little bit. And so the next thing you know, this captain from the Syrian army began to talk loud and be talking Hebrew tongue, so that they would understand it. And the thing that he tried to do is get the people in Hebrew tongue to distrust Hezekiah. So this man is leading you the wrong way. So discredit leadership is one of the real tricks of the devil. I've tried to have it done to me multiple times, trying to make me look bad so the people would not believe what I'm saying and not follow what we're doing, division. So I'm saying, it doesn't make any difference who it is, Joseph, David, whoever it is, the enemy's just that he does not change. His tricks are the same from the beginning in. Now, they're not the same for folks who are not taking any risk. If you're not moving forward, he doesn't care. He leave you because you got enough people he got to focus in on who are moving forward. And he doesn't have so many demons, so he's got to use them wisely. You know, he really does. He's got to use them wisely. And y'all all right? We okay? So here is Joseph. He had a dream, and God has given you a vision, all right? But he told it to his brethren, and they got jealous and wanted to kill him. You know the story. And then, he got sold as a slave, and that's what I showed you over there, that the Babylonian system. It could be capitalism, but it has no morals to it. So that's where slavery came about, okay? And then, next thing you know, he was sold to a man down in Egypt named Potiphar. And so he worked for him. Now, Joseph was being blessed, and he was blessing the house of Potiphar. And the one thing you want to do with your business is bless everybody around you.
Amen.
You want your business to be a blessing for the whole city, for the whole community, or whatever have you. And employ people. Get them, give them jobs, so forth and so on. That's part of your witness.
Amen.
And so what happened now, the Bible says in Genesis 39, if you can come on over there, please. Genesis 39. Come on, I got to finish this. I got to go home. Genesis 39. Y'all don't know I do a whole lot. Genesis 39. Have you got it? Verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into Joseph's hands. Now notice what he's doing. He's putting everything in Joseph's hand. All right? Now, wow, I can't even, man. Okay. Don't see how to wrap this up. This hole is getting deeper. You know. So, but I got to stop somewhere. Praise God. You know. Oh, we're 25 minutes fast. Okay, all right, that helped. That helps 25 minutes, right? Okay. All right, now here's the deal. Let me just. So Joseph, he prospered this man, and as a result of him prospering this man, now here comes temptation, and the temptation comes on Joseph first to take a little bit of the money. And steal a little bit of the profits and so forth. Now, the temptation may come, but my wife and I, every dime we get, let's say I go different places, airport, people see me, Pastor, I just want to sow into your life. So every dime, that money is recorded, tithed on, and taxed on.
Amen.
Now, just hear what I'm saying. Mm-mm. I told you what you compromise to get. You got it? Now, listen. I may be reading your mail, but this is good. This is good. I'm just saying, because we all came from that. You know what I mean? And we could say all kinds of things. Well, I worked hard for this. I mean, praise God. That sounds good. But Jesus said, render to Caesar. What is Caesar's? That's Caesar's. So now, I'm only telling you this because I'm laying the groundwork for your business to prosper.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I used to, get the pencil working and find interesting ways. Are you following what I'm saying? Very creative. Elohim, you know. But then I found out, went out there, met with a guy. We had a bunch of pastors out named Dr. Frederick K.C. Price. He said, some of you are not prospering because you're not paying your taxes. Said, whoa. Not paying your tithes is bad enough. Not paying your taxes? Yep. Now, it's legal that you're supposed to pay your taxes. Wow. Man. So when I learned that, I said, okay, there are reasons why ministries are not growing.
Amen.
Because once you violate that, the anointing lifts. And the anointing is your power to cut through any resistance of the devil. Okay, boom, got it. Oh, you follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
Well, y'all got quiet when I start talking about taxes. Amen, praise the Lord. Now, that's what you want me to do. You want me to tell you the whole story.
Amen, amen.
Hey, listen, folks, There is plenty in Daddy's house.
Amen.
Now you got to come to that first. See, if you're connected to the system, you'll find that an indicator of that is you do things the world's way. See, God has a different way of doing things. See, the world has that way of doing things. I'm not saying that there can't be ways that you can reduce your taxes. I'm not saying that. You got what I'm saying? But I'm saying make sure everything's legal.
Amen.
Got what I'm saying? Because God is going to have you. He's got another government up there, and that government works almost the same as this government, except he doesn't have taxes. He has tithe.
Amen.
Got it? Y'all with me, right?
Amen. Amen.
Oh, this is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Y'all, now y'all wish I'd have left when I said I was going to leave. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Bible says, speak the truth in love.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. So he tried to get Joseph to take some of the money. I'm sure of that. It didn't say it in here, but I'm sure of that. So I see two things. One, that the enemy comes after. Comes after the money and the morality.
Amen.
Those two temptations. The next time he came with Potiphar's wife. Here's Joseph, good-looking young man. Mr. Potiphar comes in. Hey, boy, you sure look good. I've been watching your muscles lately. And them muscles, man, you've been working out. Them abs. you follow what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, made him feel real good. The Bible says he ran from it.
Amen.
Why? Because he had a destiny ahead of him. And the enemy is after your destiny. And I brought this book for a reason. Because I believe you've been destined to be one of these folks.
Amen. Amen.
A billionaire.
Amen.
So why cut it short?
Amen.
Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. Yeah. So, remember, going up the mountain, what you compromise on going up that mountain is what's going to rule you at the top of that mountain.
Amen.
You get it?
Yes.
So, you may as well just do it right and so forth. So, now, here's Joseph, but he's out in Egypt. Now, he gets thrown in prison because he was falsely accused. But notice what he didn't do. He didn't lose his love. He didn't come against Mrs. Potiphar in prison. And so forth, even though this sexual harassment thing got him and so forth. But he knew that many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver you out of them all.
Amen.
You keep God's word on your lips. His word is designed to deliver you. God knew you were going to be in that situation before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
But he knew one thing is going to get you out, his word. You got to stay right with it. Got it? And so, next thing that happens, is he now takes over the prison. Why? Because the God's kingdom rules over everything. And the kingdom of God is designed to bring order where there is chaos. And Joseph had the kingdom, or this new reality government, functioning in him. And so the next thing you know, the Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody could solve it. They called Joseph. Remember what I said, you were born for a problem. To solve a problem in this hour. You're not years before you were born, right now. You were born. And problems promote you.
Amen.
Problems promote you. Your solution is what they're looking for. So in this, here's Joseph. He solved the problem, tells him what to do. He said, hey, you're the man, and so forth, and makes him second in command and so forth. And here, Joseph is at the top of the government. He's the one that's running things, so forth and so on. So that's the idea, that God not only wants us to have dominion in the earth, but he wants you to dominate your industry.
Amen.
The industry of business, he wants you to dominate it. Okay? You be the person. Why? Because when you do that, you build a platform by which you can tell other people about God.
Amen.
They'll see it on your life. And that's what God is looking for. You to be a witness.
Amen.
Okay? Now, the anointing is the thing that is on his life, and the anointing that was on him, I call it a kingly anointing. I'll read you some of the anointings here, and I'm just going to, as I read them, I'm going to believe God that these same anointing is going to come on your life.
Amen.
Solomon's anointing. It's anointing for resource management, wisdom, wealth, success, and prosperity. Joshua's anointing. It's anointing for warfare, prosperity, success strategies. Esther's anointing. It's an anointing of divine favor and kingdom strategies. Abraham's anointing. It's pioneering new territories, real estate acquisitions, covenant blessings. Daniel's anointing for government, excellence, and integrity. Eve's anointing for fruitfulness and dominion. Christ's anointing, the prophetic prayer and spiritual warfare, signs, wonders, miracles, and purpose-driven life. I speak all those anointings on your life right now in the name of Jesus. So now Joseph's raises up the most powerful economy in the world. The most powerful economy in the world. Now notice what Joseph had to have. Joseph had to have machinery outside of his tribal environment that was going to trigger an anointing for this level of wealth, that he was going to have to understand that there was something in the world that was needed to trigger an anointing that would bring forth the most powerful economy in the world. He's going to have to use the world to do it. Now, let's just go to one place. I'll show you that. Go to Micah chapter 4. Now, I'll give you a little bit to find Micah now, but go to, okay, Micah chapter 4. Okay. God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked.
Amen.
God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. Esther was put in a wicked household of King Ahasuerus for a reason. Why? For such a time as this. Glory to God.
Amen.
But there is also an environment out there that you need that is key to trigger an anointing that's on your life to bring forth something. You'll find that you can get healings in a church service or something, but you want to see some powerful healings? Go out there in Africa and have a crusade. There's something in that environment that triggers a great anointing on your life. Look what it says in Micah chapter 4 in verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion. Zion is another word for the church. Like a woman in travail, for now shall thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to where?
Babylon.
And there you shall be delivered. And there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of the enemies. Oh, yeah. You're going out there where the stuff is. And sometimes, you know, we try to name our business, you know, Jesus is coming soon, housekeeping. You know what I mean? But you got to stop that. Come on. You know. Don't do that. You don't need to do that. People will know by your demonstration
Absolutely.
That your business is different.
Amen.
Okay, all right. All right, now let me just, I didn't mean to say that. I wasn't talking about anybody. But, you know, understand, you're trying to hang on to that religious mountain. No, there's seven other mountains. Okay. All right. So, he wasn't coming Jesus didn't come to improve the world's economy. He came to replace it. He came to replace it with a whole different economy. Now, the message of the kingdom of God is necessary. So you have to understand the kingdom, how the kingdom works, and that you are not to depend on this world. You're in it, but not what? Of this world. And God has ways of fixing your needs independent of some of the ways that the world might think of and so forth. So you got to take time and seek him. Don't just fall in line with some things that some of the people who are ungodly may counsel you about. Also, excellence is something that you want to have. Excellence is described as the attention to detail. That gives rise to superior performance. That leads to promotion in life. Okay? Daniel, turn to it real quick. Daniel chapter 6. And this is all I'm going to cover for this time. I'll just tell you a couple things about the blessing and we'll go. Daniel chapter 6, have you got it?
Yeah.
All right, so attention to detail that gives rise to superior performance that leads to promotion in life. Excellent. Daniel chapter 6. Look what it says here in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdoms 120 princes. Princes means rulers or, you know, could be managers, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first. So you can look at it. These were presidents, and then under them were directors and so forth over different parts of the kingdom. At that time, this was a time where Medo-Persian kingdom. You had first Babylonian, boom, drop down next to Alabashanda, Medo-Persian after the Babylonian. And then after that, the Grecian kingdom, after that, the Roman kingdom, and then you see what you see today. And after what you see today, the kingdom of God is coming.
Amen.
Okay. All right. So look, it said in verse 2, and over there were three presidents of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might give account to them, and the king should have no damage. No damage means no loss. You want to put that in your Bible. God doesn't want loss. And, you know, sometimes we figure up loss, and we talk about profit and loss and so forth. And we can talk about that as theory. But you're not to expect loss. God has ways. If we can seek wisdom, we can seek wisdom in a way that we can experience no loss. Verse 3, and Daniel, and this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes because what kind of spirit was in him? An excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over a whole realm. All right, now, notice what the king was doing. He's promoting Daniel. Well, why was he promoting Daniel? Why was he promoting him? Why? Why? Anybody? Why? Why was he promoting Daniel? Why was the king going to promote Daniel? Why didn't he promote everybody? Okay, spirit of the Lord is upon him. But what was that spirit was causing him to do? Okay, give excellent results. See? And the spirit of the anointing is on your life to perform at a higher level. We call the anointing the performance enhancer.
Amen.
Okay? You might want to put that down. The anointing on your life is a performance enhancer. All right? It's designed to distinguish you. Why? Because God wants to make you an influence to the nations.
Amen.
You get what I'm saying? Okay? So, here's Daniel. His excellence that was on his life. Now, sometimes we come into kingdom and we put our mind outside the door. Now, your mind... Your mind is key because God doesn't exceed your belief.
Yeah.
I don't care what your spirit is, what shape your spirit is. You're born again. You're born again, healed, rich, and everything else. But notice why you're not manifesting it. Because your mind is not convinced of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not violate your will.
Amen.
Get it? So your mind is key to manifesting God's promises in your life. You have to renew your mind. It's going to have to agree with your spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so excellent spirit. So there's an anointing that can come on your mind that can give you ideas, give you a sense of excellence, so forth and so on, that the world doesn't have. Down in the sanctuary, our main auditorium, let me have one of those right there, just something to keep me going here. Okay, and... What happened was, down in our auditorium, we were building it, and they were wondering, how are they going to put the ceiling in? Because the HVAC was so low, until they figured it would leave too little volume in the auditorium. In other words, the ceiling must be higher. So how are they going to do that? So we prayed, and God came from one time from Connecticut or somewhere, and he was in the service, and he was a minister or whatever. But in the middle of our praise and worship, he began to prophesy. He said, the spirit of Bezalel shall come on the church, so forth and so on. Well, I heard of Bezalel, but I'm trying to figure out, who is Bezalel? Let me go in here and look and see who that is. I look up Bezalel. And if you look back here in Bezalel, let's go back there. Let's go back to Exodus chapter, 35. Okay. Well, let's start at Exodus chapter 34 first, because that's good too. Exodus chapter 31, please. You with me?
Amen.
Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of what?
Craft.
Workmanship, craft, okay? So notice what he did. There's an anointing that can come on somebody to perform in some way that they've never had the experience to do it.
Amen.
Got it? Now, all this works if you believe it. If you don't believe it, none of it works for you. It's not automatic. Okay? So, in our case, the anointing of God is available to you. Over in Colossians, it says this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's the anointing and the anointed one. It means to rub on, to smear, and so forth. For example, if you want to put some salve on somebody, that's anointing. David was anointed. They took the oil and poured it on his head. And from that day forward, he was anointed. It releases the anointing on your life. Now, for you and I, we got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And once you do, that's what some people say, well, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit stuff and that speaking in tongues stuff. Whoa. Hold it. That's part of the performance enhancer
Amen.
That you need to not just speak in tongue, but to do business on a level you've never done it on.
Amen.
To do, come on, whatever it is, craft on the level. So that's that anointing. So here's that anointing. Comes on their life. Notice it can do. They got to build a temple that they never seen.
Amen.
Got it? So that anointing came on these construction workers. They came up with it. They said, hey, here's a design that we came up with. We've never seen this. We don't really know whether it's going to work. And that ceiling is, what is that? So sheetrock? What's that called? That you build walls with and so forth. What?
Drywall.
That's drywall. They dipped a drywall in used water and wet it and bent it. They've never done that. So this auditorium won the award for the architectural design of the year at Navy Pier. They gave him a big award for it. Now, what happened? The prophet came. Spoke a word about an anointing coming. Got it? So I'm just saying, if he can do it for them, he can do it for you.
Amen.
Am I right about
it? Name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, all right. So now you got to come to class, though. You got to learn some natural things, too. You know, you have to learn how to read a balance statement okay, make a business plan. Okay. So what am I saying? The blessing now. And the blessing or the anointing is something that came from Adam. It started there. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. We'll close out. Genesis chapter 1. All right. What is a blessing? It's an empowerment to prosper. Okay. And here he says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion over the what? Fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. And what? Every creeping thing that creepeth upon this earth. Okay? So this blessing was at work. And Jesus even operated in that blessing. Every miracle that he did came out of that blessing. Now, I'm saying that the blessing is an anointing that comes on your life. So it was on Adam. He named animals with it, so forth and so on. He was going to use it to replicate the earth, replicate the garden throughout all the earth, because the earth was in need of repair. So Adam was going to come out, and he's going to finish the work that God gave him to do. But he lost that blessing. How did he lose it? Through sin. Sin, the blessing lifted. But now God is going to get the blessing back. Why? Because Babylon is coming in and taking over. Look at Genesis chapter 10, please. Genesis chapter 10. In Genesis chapter 10, this is when now, verse 1, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. Now I want you to check this out. Shem is the Semitic nations. Shem was the nation, the one that started the Asian nations. Ham was a darker race of people, went to Africa. And then Japheth was the Caucasian, all right? Now, today you got it all scrambled up. Y'all some everything. But it was, but then, I just letting you know that's where God divided the races. And not only that, he divided the countries, okay? God did all of that, all right? But the church is a melting pot. The church is every nation, every tribe, every kindred. They're coming back together to form one body. You got what I'm saying? Because it was all in Adam in the first place. And the church is the last Adam. It's the body of the last Adam. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
So everything's coming back together. It's culminating with you. Now, with this, it says in verse 6, and the sons of Ham, Cush, Mesraim, and Put and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, so forth and so on. Verse 8, and Cush begat who? Nimrod. And he began to be the mighty one in the earth, and was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That word before means against. So that's a Hebrew word for against. So he was the first one against the Lord. And he came from Ham. Ham came from Cush. Cush came from Ham, which is the darker race of people. So the enemy used this people to be the first, got the first leader out of this people to be against him. Now understand, since then, each group has had its 2,000-year reign. Each group has had its 2,000-year reign. Now you're 2, 4, 6, and now you're in the 7th. This is the year of the church.
Amen.
This is where the church will reign. Are you following what I'm
Amen.
Saying? Okay. All right. Look down here in verse 15. And Canaan begat Zidon, his firstborn, and Heth. See that word Heth? Heth came and produced something called the Hittites. And the Hittites, or Heth, means terror. So Hittite spirit is a fierce spirit. And one of the first spirits that the enemy will try to come at you with is a spirit of fear. Why is he trying to do it? Because that's one of the main spirits he'll try to come after your faith. Faith won't work in the atmosphere of fear. Okay? So, if you look at that, you go on down, these are the genealogies, but it's kind of interesting how he took these people. Look at verse 20. And these are the sons of Ham after the families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Very interesting how the nation of Ham, that Ham's descendants came up, was the nation of Africa. Interesting how Africa got all that gold and silver and so forth. Now, what do you mean? I mean, they had an anointing to govern it. That's what I'm telling you. All these were anointings. Each one of them, now understand, every anointing has to get around. No man is an island. Every anointing is for that thing, but it needs the next person with that anointing to complete it.
Amen.
You got it? So it's interesting sometimes. I mean, every one of you is significant.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
So let's go on down, because now, as you go down to verse 24 of the next chapter, chapter 11. No. In chapter 11, notice what they were building there. They were building a Tower of Babel. Has anybody ever heard of that?
Yep.
Okay. Notice Babylon, no God. So this tower was being built with no God. So the enemy wants you to build that business with no God. Got it? So I'm just letting you know now that this is God wants to be back in the picture. Now, look what it says here in verse 24 of chapter 11. And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. Oh, Lord. And Nahor lived after they begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and beget who? Abram, keep going. Nahor, and who? Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah beget Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Notice I said it again. And Haran beget Lot. Now that's where Lot came from. So notice, Terah had three sons. Who were they? Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, the anointing comes through the father. But Abram, the firstborn, wouldn't receive it. So it went to Nahor. And that anointing was an anointing to create false gods. Got it? Now this is I'm going deep now. Now, verse 28, and Haran died before his father Terah. Now that should be a sign there that something demonic was going on, because they didn't live long. You got what I'm saying? All right. In the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. Now Ur of the Chaldees. Chaldees comes from an Armenian word, which means moon worship. So Abraham and them were up there with moon worshipers. However, Abram refused it, and God chose him now for the blessing. Because he got to start this blessing line again. Got it? And he was chosen for it. So now he's chosen for this blessing. And it says here in verse 31, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, his son of Haran, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah did what? He died in where? Haran. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of this country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you, and I will make of you, come on, a great nation. And I will what? Bless you. Keep going. I will make your name great. Keep going. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that what? Bless you. I will curse them that what? Curse you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Amen.
Got it?
Amen.
Now, what does it say? Go over, all the way over to Galatians, please. All the way over to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3. I'm just cutting you off now. Now notice, Isaac was blessed. Notice, Isaac was in a land that was in famine, and in famine, he prospered. That's the blessing on your life, because your blessing can prosper you independent of the environment.
Amen.
Got it?
Amen.
Okay? I don't care what season it is, you're going to prosper.
Amen.
Then it went to Isaac, to Jacob. Notice Jacob worked for Laban. Notice what Laban did. You can read it yourself. Laban made false gods because his daughter stole one of them. Got it? Now I'm just letting you know this false god thing. Why? Because it's a war going on. Babylon, kingdom.
Amen.
See? And Babylon's trying to get you off on the false gods, and the kingdom's trying to get you onto the true God.
Amen.
And those things are still, both of them, still existing in the earth today. Are you following what I'm saying?
Amen.
So Galatians chapter 3, and last chapter, last verse. How about Joseph? What's the blessing on Joseph?
Yeah.
It was on Joseph. Amen. Blessed anywhere. Anywhere he went. Got what I'm saying? And that blessing is designed to possess everything that strangers have.
Amen.
You might want to write that down. The blessing is designed to have you to inherit everything that strangers have. That scripture is found in Genesis 28, verse 4. I'm giving you the interpretation of that scripture. Genesis 28 and verse 4. That blessing is designed to have you to possess or inherit or repossess everything strangers have.
Amen.
Why? Why is that? Why is that? Because it doesn't belong to them.
Amen.
It belongs to Adam.
Amen.
Then you are part of Adam's body.
Amen.
Jesus is the last Adam. Come on now. Boy, that's shouting material, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Look what it said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. That the, come on, help me. Blessing of who? Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the what? Promise of the Spirit through faith. What did he promise Abraham? He promised you.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
And with that, I'm going home. All right, now, yes, sure. What now?
Class photo.
Okay, yeah, okay, sure. But, second. Oh, yeah. Where'd you see me? Where'd you
Wednesday.
Wednesday night. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Good stuff, boy, I'm telling you. That's wonderful. Thank you. Now, I guess Dave had something here he wanted to do as well. Now, let me just see first. Are there any, questions that you have that are short, answer, and so forth? Now, did you follow me through pretty good with that?
Yeah.
Now, understand that I read you all of those things, and that's a really valuable tape right there, or CD, or whatever, because that went through, we took you right through that. That's almost worth a little booklet that can be made up and published for the center, because that is a, that is a real, we could edit it a little bit, but that is a real line-by-line teaching on changing this paradigm so that we could all prosper in this thing. Okay, let me get the questions here. I'm not turning my back on you. I'm just packing up. All right? First question right here.
Thank you, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I just noticed that you have a lot of books and notes and stuff, and I was just wondering, like, in your daily walk, how do you determine what's worthy of reading and what's not?
I saw you looking down there. Where do you see books?
Oh, like over there on the table back there.
Okay. all right. Now, one, I have my own prayer notebook because God speaks to you in prayer. Prayer is not something you just, is a one way. It's a two-way. You talk to him, he talks to you. So you can write down what he talks to you because it's coming in through the Spirit. And sometimes you try to rely on your mind will, you won't remember it. So you write it down. So every day, you know, I write down what he says. I go before him and date, you know, what date it is and so forth and just talk to God. And you can talk to him and write down things he might tell you to do, especially when you have problems. And he'll speak to you about answers and so forth and so on. Be a good thing for you. All right? So that's that. This here is Ungers, U-N-G-E-R-S, apostrophe S. U-N-G-E-R, apostrophe S. Ungers Bible Dictionary. Okay. Now, in this, I had looked up Haran. It said a city. It said this city was on the busy caravan road connecting Nineveh, Asher, and Babylon in Mesopotamia and with Damascus. Now, what is he saying here? This is a business route. It was a trade route. So they were setting up in business routes so that they could do business. And I'm just letting you know that business was way back there and so forth. So I look it up to kind of see because, you know, when I talk about things, I just don't want to talk about it. I want to be able to see it, you know, when I'm teaching things. So that's what I got. And then that's pretty much it, you know, up here. I've got, you know, other reference books at home, but you don't need all the reference books that I've got because I have to stand in the pulpit. Your pulpit is your business, so you need some business reference books, you know what I mean, and so forth like that. So those kind of things. One more? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Pastor Winston. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to ask very quickly, thinking about the Babylonian system, I was in a discussion with someone about some of the interesting things that they're doing with the U.S. dollar now.
Yeah.
Coming off the gold standard and flooding the market, things like that. And we were remembering a teaching that you had done about how the Egyptians, we couldn't remember if it was the Egyptians or the Babylonians that had tricked the Israelites out of their gold.
Yep.
And exchanged or changed the standard from wood to paper. Yeah. And we were just wondering.
Scarab beetle. Mm-hmm, okay. That's a scarab beetle.
Okay.
Yeah, you can look it up. Now, what about that? What do you want me to say about that?
Well, just wondered if you could give the scriptural reference that you gave for that.
For that?
Uh-huh.
The way I did it, and, you know, people have asked me about that, but you can look it up on the internet. You can look it up. Egyptian coins and so forth. But over in Exodus chapter 1, the way I did it is looked at the pattern of how God works. I mean, how the enemy works. And it says in Exodus chapter 1, it talks about the fact that these children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mightily. Now that's in Egypt. Then it says that the Pharaoh, who was a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph, said, let's deal wisely with them. Now they're going to have to trick them. What are they going to have to get? They're going to have to get their gold. I just sent for a tape that I saw on Military Channel or somewhere just the other night. And it was a tape where they took the gold out of the victims of the Holocaust mouth and so forth. And the gold, it still had a high content of mercury in it as well because they took it out of their mouth and they took some of the mercury and put it in there, and so when they melted it all down, mercury was mixed in it. But it's the same thing. I mean, the enemy knows the value of that gold. So scarab beetle is mostly wood. And so my dad used to say to me, and he'd be joking, you know, but I was about to go on a trip or something. He said, son, don't take any wooden nickels. He would just tell me that. And I didn't think anything about that until I started studying this. And that stuff was wooden. Those were wooden nickels. And Abraham and them had amassed gold. So the enemy had to trick them into giving up the gold for the wooden nickels. And what I told you is that the dollar is made out of wood. And that the enemy is trying to give you, so you end up with all the dollars. And he'll end up with the gold. And you can believe he's trying to amass gold as I speak.
Amen.
You know, I mean, it's kind of interesting because at bank we were doing some buying some quantities of gold each month because, you know, one of the strategies is to have a certain amount of our reserves kept in gold. And the regulators had problems with that. One of the regulators said, well, you know, where'd you get this from? The guy who was with us, John, told me his conversation with the guy. He wants to know, you know, where'd you get that? And the problem is that the central bank has amassed gold. He was working for the regulators and asking us, why are we saving gold? And the bank, the central bank, is amassing gold. So that's how much in darkness people are about this matter. And that's why banks don't sell gold. Keep them separate, because they're trying to distribute the wood. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good.
Amen.
Okay, one more and then we're going to have to quit. Yeah. Okay.
How you doing, Pastor? Thank you for your teaching. I wanted to ask you a question about business. We know that there's no compromise in the kingdom.
There's no what?
Compromise, right?
No compromise. Right.
Okay. So as my business grows in the marketplace, I will be stepping out into other ventures. And that's when, like, the secular kingdom comes into place with alcohol and things like that.
Yeah.
So I run a limousine business, and I'm looking to expand my business and, you know, get stretch limousines and party buses and things like that.
Oh, you plan on having a liquor store?
No, sir. But
I'm just asking now.
No, but my clients or clients in the world, they like to drink and things like that. But I didn't want to have that in my business.
Well, you just don't participate in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, you might go to a meeting or something and they have alcohol. And you just don't participate in it. I mean, you don't participate in alcohol.
Right.
That's the world out there.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to do business with them. And your business shouldn't have it. For the bank, for example, one of our policies is that we don't invest in people who want to borrow money for building liquor stores and all of that. Got it?
Yes, sir.
But we might loan money to a man who drinks liquor. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, that's the world. See? I can't. He come in and want to borrow some money. I said, what do you want to borrow for? Well, I want to put the school up. Oh, okay. All right. All the criteria and so forth and so on. I can ask him now, do you drink or smoke? No. Are you following what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I'm just saying you're dealing with the world. And understand you can keep your sanctification and still do business with them.
Amen.
Joseph worked for Potiphar. Potiphar was playing poker every Friday night. Come on now. I'm telling you, and Joseph probably, you know, had some guys. What do you want? Falstaff? Do they sell Falstaff anymore? Slits? You know what I mean? They probably brought it to him. My point to you is, wherever God puts you, he'll give you the anointing to handle that.
Amen.
and so forth. Now, I know that's an area that may be sensitive to you, but I don't think it's complicated at all. I think all you got to do is ask God about it. You know what I mean? And if you're not even supposed to do business with this man, you tell you don't even do business with him. You know, you're supposed to do business with him. But he put Esther right in a heathen palace, right in there. And he was a girl. She was a girlfriend. So that messes up your theology right there. You follow what I'm saying? Folks, I'm telling you now, just if you really get down to it, boy, I can mess with somebody's theology. I can just go right in that Bible. Amen. But see, God knew how it was going to come out. And he had to put her in a place where he could save the Jews, because they were about to be, wiped out and so forth. So I'm just saying, judge it. See? Because we went through that with putting up our property here in so-and-so, and they had sell wine in there and so forth and so on. I had to go through that. I called some of the pastors and so forth. I don't know. Look like you got a problem. I mean, yeah, I can get any help on that. You know what I mean? I'm telling you. I said, okay, praise God. I said, I'm going to go ahead. I said, this is the extent of your policy. You can't serve this, da, 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 da. So forth, and did some things. And that was it. Okay? Now, if God tells you, hey, on this, don't let anything come in there, so forth, that's exactly what you do. Amen. So I'm telling you, I don't struggle with it anymore. I just ask Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, you follow what I'm saying? I ask the Holy Ghost. Whatever he says, that's what I do. I'm out of this business of struggling, trying to figure out, calling around, asking everybody. Hey, all the preachers got a different answer. Everyone, man. Okay, that's it. Thank you. Okay.